Blog Talk Radio. everyone. Welcome to the Double Impact Ministries, also to Kingdom Builders International, where we have joined together to do a work in God's kingdom, in the vineyard. For the scripture says to go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will pay. Well, it's as a pleasure to bring God's word to you again this evening on the first Sunday of each and every month, where God has provided a door, an access, and an open heaven to where he can pour out his spirit and begin to minister that which is necessary for the people to go into another state or level of perfection. I'm grateful for being God's servant, his son, to be able to share with you that which God has laid on our heart. Listen, what I want to say, though, is there's a change of venue tonight. There is a small change in how things are going to be done. It's yet ministry, but I want to share with you how that the Lord has opened us up to understand and to know what he's doing in this season through one of the ministers in the church that shared with me that God was calling us to a consecration. And a shut-in is what we desired, but God said, okay, we can use this venue since we weren't going to be in the church. And it was such a quick notice, we didn't set things up at the church so that we could do this. Nonetheless, we're in a time where God spoke to me the other day and said that we are in a time of the this kind. And the this kind meaning that this kind cometh only out but by prayer and fasting. And right now the church, Double Impact Ministries, has gone into a seek another consecrated mode. If you recall, the first of the year God gave us to do the same thing, and we stayed in there for a longer period of time. God gave us to fast, in fact, about two or three times this year already. And the thing that he wanted us to do was to go before him, cleanse ourselves, to get ourselves ready for a manifestation of what he wanted to do in this season, in the beginning part of the year anyway. And he's actually moved in the midst of that. And he'd done some things throughout that season of consecration that the church was in. There was some yokes destroyed. There was some manifestations God moved amongst other individuals' lives in and out from under the ministry as well. As a result of that, he worked on my children. He did some things that I have not even shared with the people as yet. But I want to say that we're doing this because we hear the clarion call. There's a sound that says, come before me and seek me. Seek me now. God wants to renew. He wants to hear what is going on in your lives. He wants you to learn also the art of petitioning him. That such thing called the petition prayer and intercessory prayer. There's travailing prayer. And then there's that prayer, that warfare intercessory prayer, where God gives us to know how to go in according to the strategies that he gives us to defeat our enemies. And long through now, we need God to show us where the enemy is lurking. How come we are being delayed? What is it that's within our hearts, God, that's causing us to become hindered from seeing total fulfillment of the promises that you have given to us, that you've spoken to us, that you have shared with us? What is it, God, that we need to do in order to see you moving in the lives of the young ones, the youth, our sons and daughters, and even in our personal affairs? And in order to get even a petition before God, we need to do as the word says to do in, I believe that's in 1 John. I'm sorry, it's Romans 10 and 9. And we need to go before God and we need to confess our sins before him. We need to learn how to properly address the king. We need to know how to go before him and get in his presence without having blockages and hindrances that will stop God from even hearing our prayer. Yeah, he knows where we are. He knows what things we have need of before we ask it. And we can just cry out and call on Jesus, and he's right there for us in most instances. But what God wants us to understand is that there is a way to come before him. There is a way to seek him. There is a way to get into his presence to where you can move heaven and have God to approve or to say that your petition has been granted. And when God puts his approval on your petition, which is asking him for something, and I don't mean personally, but we're going to go before God throughout these next 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Tuesday, asking God for some things to be done, getting the strategies from the Lord, finding out what it is that we need to do to combat the enemy. And let me back up a little bit and say this. The last time the church did a shut-in at the church, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, we were very successful in getting some things accomplished in that shut-in. And then God moved by his Spirit miraculously, people of God. He moved by his Spirit so, and yokes were destroyed. The anointing came in and broke up stony grounds, caused people to become filled with joy before they left that place. Families were reunited and tied together. There was no more dissension and disunity amongst the body of believers during that time. And since then, many people have gone on, and some have left and did what they needed to do, and some left because they backslid. But bottom line is, in that season, God moved, and he has called us to this clarion call again to come before his presence. And what we're going to do in the first phase of this is we're going to go through what you call repentance prayer. We need to humble our hearts before the Lord. We're going to humble our hearts before him so that we can get in his presence. A lot of the times we go before God looking any kind of way. We wake up out of the bed with sleeping eyes, snot running out our nose sometimes, coughing and passing gas and all of that other stuff. And we down there trying to get a prayer through just because we got to go to work. Some of you got to go to work and you still haven't washed up yet. You haven't even really made time to get before God or give him enough time because you're still sleepy. Most people get up just 10 minutes before they have to walk out the door to go to work and try to rush and then beat the train or the bus or the ride to get to where they need to be. So we're not making time for God. So we're going before him with them little quick prayers, and we're doing microwave petitions and hoping God hears and that he's going to fix it. But no, we're going to back up and we're going to start treating God as he is. He is a king. We need to address our appearance, even in the natural. God has been dealing with me, even in appearance before. You know, just jumping out of the bed and putting on a robe and washing your face and brushing your teeth is fine. But some of us, we've learned, we just get on up and roll over and just start talking to God. And sometimes you have to do that. But now we want to step up to another level. And what I'm asking us to do as members of the body of Christ is to take a different attitude about approaching a king. You can't go before the king without him laying out the scepter. In other words, saying that you are approved. You are welcomed to come into my presence. Yes, I know the scripture says that God has given us grace that we may boldly come before him to make our requests known to him. Yes, but we want to make sure that when we come boldly, we come in with a reverence in our spirit. Because he is definitely who he said he is. He is a king of kings. Jesus is Lord of lords. We are lords in the earth realm, which means rulers over the earth. But when we come before the king of kings, the Lord of lords, my God, we need to come before him with a reverence, a reverential reverence, where a God-fearing reverence to where, hey, let's get up. And I myself, I have now started to put on white before his presence. I clean myself up now. I want to be clean. I go through renunciations and how to clean my garment, my spiritual garment, not just my natural. Clean myself up, and then I get in the position to hear from God, renouncing going through learning steps of how to clean up my inner man and to remove all the sin out of the way before I entered into the presence of a king. Listen, many of us don't really know how to wash ourselves, wash our garments, wash and renew the spiritual garments. You know how to go put those clothes in the machine, and you know how to put some bleach in them to make them whites, whites. Well, God has a fuller soap. He has a way of cleaning you up as well in the spirit. But what he wants us to do is to learn the art of cleansing ourselves. And tonight, I think I'm going to touch on that a little bit, and we're going to be staying in this vein until God releases us. The first phase of this consecration, we're going to be getting ourselves in position to hear, for one. Number two, to go before the king, okay, and so that we can lay out our petition before him in purity and write it before him. We're going to teach you how to lay your petition at the altar of God and leave it there. And then after we would have made our petition before the Lord and placed it on the altar, I'm going to show you how not to remove it off the altar so that that prayer can be answered, that you would receive an answer from the Lord for that particular prayer or that petition that you put there. We want him to be able to recognize and let out the scepter to us, just like he did Queen Esther when she went before him during a certain season where the people of God, or should I say Haman, was coming against the people of God and had desired to kill all of the Jews. But the woman of God obtained favor, and she went before the king because he let out the scepter. But before he let that scepter out the first time, they were about ready to cut her head off. But when the king let out his scepter, she came on into his presence, and then she began to talk to the king and let him know what was going on. And then he asked her, "What is thy petition, Esther?" And she brought up the fact that the enemy was attacking her loved ones or her descendants or the Jews, her people, her relatives, so to speak. And that's what we are going to do with God this evening. And then as you read the scripture, God began to move in her. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God began to move in Queen Esther's behalf. And he began to turn that thing around where the enemy, what he had intended for bad concerning her family or the descendants or the Jews, her people of that nation, God took and turned that thing on Haman and began turning him to the same gallows that he had desired to hang the Jews on, God's people on. He put him in the vice that he desired for us and cut his head off. And I'm here to tell you, we in this hour need God in some points in our lives to cut the head of the enemy off in certain situations and circumstances. And for some of us that have reached a different level of maturity, God will show you personally how to use specific weapons to go in and to cut the enemy's head off for yourself. But for those who have not reached that state, this is for both sides of the fence here. Those that are young in the Lord and those that are matured in God. God's going to give us some strategies. He's going to answer some petitions. He's going to release us into the destiny and the purpose that we have been assigned to, and there's going to be some yokes and hindrances destroyed. Amen? Amen. But first things first, we need to know how to go before God's presence. And one of the things I want to do is I want to go to Psalms, the 51st chapter. I want to show you something. You may need to have, in fact, I would advise each and every one of us that's under this, that's on this call, to get pens, paper, pencils, your computer, laptop, whatever it is. Take notes. Shut the noise off along through now. That's another thing. We have to make sure that when we are in a consecrated state, or any time that we are going, and let me say it again, any time that we are going before God's presence to hear from him, we need to get rid of all interference, all distractions. Do not allow the enemy to bring distractions through radios, televisions, children. Put the children down for a minute. Put some food in their mouth, feed them, and then put them in the room and get in your closet before God and allow Him to begin to minister to you as you set yourself to seek His face. It's time out for all of the distractions, all of the noise, making excuses. I can't do nothing. I can't pray because all these kids. Well, you got to find a way if it means finding Him in the midnight hours when everybody else is asleep. That's the move, and that's the character anyway of the virtuous woman. You can read about her in the 31st chapter of Proverbs, where it says that she attends to her household and giveth meat to her house while everybody else is asleep in the night. She's a wise woman. She knows she's got to get up and prepare the food spiritually and naturally in the spirit realm for her husband or for the men and women of God or her children while they are asleep. But we got to come out of the lazy mode. We don't like to give time or sacrifice to the Lord. Psalms 51 or the 51st chapter is where we're going. I'm over here in Isaiah. Bear with me for a moment, please. Hallelujah. The 51st chapter. I'm going to ask everybody that's on the line, I want you to clear the distractions out of your presence now, because very shortly I'm going to have the lines opened up, even while I'm ministering. Amen. But I want you to get rid of all of the background noise before I have them open those lines up. So remove the distractions now, because we're going before the King, and we are going to pray as well before we would have gotten off of this line tonight. Amen. Psalms 51 reads as thus. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin." This is David praying the prayer for spiritual cleansing, for a restoration, so to speak, a washing. He's asking God to take away or remove transgressions and the stain of sin that is always up before God. And how he does that, he's going before the Lord for mercy, asking God to forgive him. But God showed me some things, and we'll talk about that a little bit further down the line. But I will say this. Sometimes you've got to get just real straight down to the nitty-gritty with God. I want to talk to you right where you are. I'm not going to try to get deep. Let's just get real with this thing. Sometimes you just have to just get before God just like you would talk to somebody in your face, but not without reverence. Don't go there trying to pretend that you all right when you know you're hurting. Don't go before God like everything's okay and that you got it all together, and just because you got a revelation knowledge of certain things in the kingdom that you can't go before God and let him know when something is offending you or hurting you. You've got to learn how to be completely open and transparent before God. I didn't say before men. You can do that, but it's a certain level of transparency you're going to have to not go, or you can't release to people, because I promise you they will take it and use it against you. You got to know when and when not to. But you've got to get really butt naked before God. When someone offends you, a lot of the times as saints, what we do is we hide it. Or we let it bounce off of us. I can see a person's face right now. We allow that stuff to sit in our hearts. We get quiet. We won't say anything to the people per se. And that has its pluses, but when you don't know how to go before God and empty out before him, that stuff will set up in your spiritual heart, and it'll begin to fester over into your emotions and into your carnal being, and before you know it, your soulish realm begins to get stronger than your spiritual man, and you start behaving unseemly. You start acting it out, even to the point that you start putting distance between you and people because you have not gone before God with the things that the enemy will speak to you concerning your the people that he has claimed your enemy. Let me make myself clear with what I just said. Sometimes and all the time, let me say it all the time, when you have a problem with a person in the, or you've been offended by a person per se, the enemy will continue to magnify that by talking to your mindset. I hope you're taking notes. He will continue to talk to your mindset to remind you of the wrong that they've done. He will point out the fact that they're behaving or acting funny towards you, and then what you'll do in return is, instead of acting in the spirit, you will allow that to offend you and affect you to the point to where you start doing the same thing. And how he does that is he talks to your mind, he paints an image, and many of us can't stand to be rejected. We hate the fact that folks are acting funny and got an attitude and disposition and with us, and we want to know why. We go on a guilt trip real fast with that. When the Bible says, blessed is the man, and I'll say the woman, that is not offended in me. In other words, what Christ was saying is that you're blessed when you can understand that no matter what that situation is saying, the images that the enemy is showing to you, you have a revelation of the Christ. You know how to use certain wisdom and principle keys that show you how to overcome that image that he's showing you, the rejection. Well, why, I wonder why they don't want to have nothing to do with me. What I done did not. They just got a nasty attitude toward me. Well, you need to get past the offense. And the only way you get past the offense is say, well, if the problem, if there is a problem, it's not with me, so I'm not going on no guilt trip, and then I'm not going to allow it to affect my walk with Christ. So no matter what attitude they may have, I'm going to walk in the spirit and stay kind. I'm going to stay lovable. I'm going to walk in the spirit of gentleness. It hurts your flesh to do that. Some of you don't even want to give up the attitude or the flesh because you found in your mindset justified reason or justifiable reasons to hate somebody else. Let me tell you something. When you can justify your reasons for hating or not wanting to have anything to do with your brother or your sister because they did this and they said that to you or they acted this way, when you can find a justified reason to do something that they're doing or to respond the same way they're doing, you just as worse as they is. And you both of you going to hell if you don't get it right. So what you got to learn how to do is come out of the justification, because justifying two wrongs within your own mindset or allowing the enemy to justify your actions, which is completely against God's principle and his word, justification locks you out of the presence of God. It's almost as if, matter of fact, it's a grudge. Whenever you say within your mindset, the cleansing is already taking place now because it's revelation. Whenever you say to yourselves or allow the enemy to give you justifiable reasons for you not having to do something with something to do with somebody because they offended you or said something bad about you, right there you have allowed the enemy to bind you up in the spirit and cause a grudge to come within your heart because you were offended. You're too easily offended. Saints, our soul in this, saints, we're going to have to become strong. We can't have no weak backbones in the kingdom. You can't be afraid when the devil rejects you and they got nasty spirits. You've got to protect and guard your spirit and the anointing so to the point to where you keep walking in love in spite of what everybody else is doing. When you get offended, that means you've been overthrown by the force that's operating in your presence, and you lost the victory. You have lost the victory right there, because first you justify, well, hey, they don't like me. I ain't got to have nothing to do with them neither. I go somewhere and shut myself off too. Well, you just as bad as they are. You're just as bad as they are, and Satan can kill both of you or three of you or the whole conglomerate of you with just one stone, and it's called hatred. It's called unforgiveness. It's called grudging, anger, bitterness. But when you go before God, because you can't really tell everybody else, and you've been walking around all quiet, ain't saying nothing, holding stuff in, you got to learn how to go before God and confess that stuff out. This is the process of how you clean your heart, people of God. And we're going to go through this as slow as I can. Principle number one, the law of confession. And let me go into the word real quick. Let me find, I believe it's Romans 10 and 9, or it's 1 John. Matter of fact, I believe it is. Let me, where's my eyeglasses? Oh, right there. Duh. Give me just a moment here. We're going to go first to 1 John. I believe it's the fifth chapter. Let's see. These are old, these scriptures here are scriptures that were given in soul winners class. And when I first got saved, when God began to remove certain things out and showing us how to deal with the enemies within my own heart and how to confess stuff out. Give me just a second. There we go. 1 John, the first chapter. We want to go to 1 John, the first chapter, and start at the fifth verse. This is the first principle of the law of confession. Amen. It says this here. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, if you say I'm saved and I love somebody, but you're not demonstrating it because you continue to get offended, you're lying. You're lying and the truth ain't in you. This is the word. This is what it says. If we say, the sixth verse, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, the scripture says we lie and do not the truth. That's what the word says. But if we walk in the light, meaning obey the kingdom principles, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. If you know somebody talking about you behind your back, if you have an unction that they are really saying something about you and is gossiping about you, don't let that offend you. They lied on Jesus. They talked about him like a dog. They actually spit in his face, placed a crown of thorns upon his head. They did more damage to Jesus than you could ever even suffer or imagine. But what Jesus is wanting you to do is to get beyond the offense. So what they're talking about you? You must be important. You must be somebody special. You must be somebody that God has made favor with, because God allows people to put their mouth on you from time to time because that's what he had to go through. If he said that he suffered in the flesh, the Bible says to arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. As Christ hath suffered in the flesh and have ceased from sin, you have to arm yourself with that same mind that, hey, they're going to do the same thing to me. The only difference is they didn't nail me to the cross. Over in America, they ain't doing it. But I promise you, if these folks decide they're going to ship us back overseas somewhere, none of us will be able to deal with some of the persecution that's going on overseas. They killing folks just for confessing the name of Christ. And dare you to say you believe in Christ, and they'll shoot you right before your family. They'll cut your head off. They'll castrate you. So can you still hold on to the confession or your profession under pressure? Can you still not just say, I love God, but I love my brother and my sister in spite of how they treat me anyway? They lying on me, but I can sit right in their presence because that's where the anointing is. The Bible says, for he anointed my head with oil. But watch this. He prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In other words, there is a table there for you. Sit at the master's feet in the presence of those who are envious against you. I tell people all the time, I see somebody that I know can't stand my guts, and they talking about me, I try my best to run up in their face and embrace them. God bless you. How you doing? I want to show them kindness or do good to them some kind of way because the word said to do it. That is entering into the kingdom of God. That is possessing the nature of Christ. In order, and I know it sounds fundamental to you, but somebody else online here needs this. In fact, some of the saints that's been in salvation for a long time have found themselves and don't even realize that they're operating in the flesh. They're killing any and everybody that ain't thinking the same way they are. So you may need this too. Your enemy right in your presence, and you still haven't learned how to walk in love towards them. There's still excuses. Well, I ain't going to do nothing for them. They can't stand me. Well, right there shows me you're not ready for the next level. You're not ready to step up into the anointing or the anointed place. God prepared that table before you in the presence of your enemy so he can anoint you. He anoints your head with oil when you can walk in love. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. You've got to do this. This is a prerequisite of kingdom. It is a principle. It is a mandate that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, if you still hate yourself, then you definitely ain't going to love your neighbor. And if you say you love God, if you say you love God and hate your brother and your sister, the Bible says you are a liar too. And the truth definitely ain't in you. How can you say you love God and hate who you around every day? I won't have nothing to do with them because they doing that to me and this and that and the other to me. Right there, you're not ready for the next level. We're still tripping. We're still tripping over fundamental principles when we should be then graduated preschool. Some of us are still in preschool and won't even go to the first grade. First grade, this is first grade stuff. Did you not know that love is on your foundation, which is your ground floor of your spiritual building? You have to get that foundation laid in you real good. Once you lay the foundation of love, which is the first commandment and the greatest commandment of them all, which is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. But then he said, and there's one likened unto it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, mind, soul, and spirit. But now watch this. How can you love your neighbor without loving God? And then how can you love God without loving your neighbor? You've got to love God through your neighbor. That's the way that God is, through your brother and your sister. You can't even get to him without loving the one that's right in your face that you say you can't stand being around. Ooh, God, hurry up and get me out around them. They full of this. They full of that. They full of witchcraft. They full of this. You too busy focused in on the enemy instead of looking at the anointing and what God had prepared for you in the presence of that particular situation. Principle, I want to give you real quick a sidebar. God had to show me that no matter what happens, to look through the eyes of understanding and not see people as Satan, but see Satan as being the one using that individual and see that person as a soul. See them as a soul. Because if you don't see them as a soul, you're going to see them as the enemy and the devil, and you'll start fighting them instead of fighting the spirit. The Bible says in Corinthians 10, and I believe it's 4, 5, and 6, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." We have to go at the enemy through the spirit. We can't keep fighting this fight in the natural. You were saved to have a change of direction and a change of heart. You were saved so that you can put on the new nature of Christ. You were saved so that God could take out of you that stony heart that you had and learned, or the behavior that you learned before you got saved. He wants to give you a DNA transplant. But in order for that to happen, you have to be willing to step up into the word consistently and do it. For the Bible says, not the hearers are just before God, but doers. You can't just hear this word and say, "I believe God," but your actions don't say it. He said, "You worship me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. But they that love God will keep his commandments," mean you're going to do them consistently. Let's read a little further. It says, the seventh verse says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." How you going to say you love God and can't even fellowship with that thing you call the devil in your household or in the church or on your job? You can't even fellowship with the person, and they supposed to be your brother and sister in Christ. That's so much dissension and hatred in the body of Christ, where people don't even want to have nothing to do with each other. That is such a foul, nasty, unclean spirit before God. That is not his nature. That is not the DNA of God. Jesus even showed us the example that even how to love Judas. He knew Judas was going to betray him, but the man sat right at the table with Judas, then turned around and said this. He said, "He that sitteth and eateth with me will betray me. And the one that I kiss, he's going to be the one to betray me." Kissed the man anyway. Showed him love. Knew what he was going to do before he did it. Many of us, we know somebody talking about you like a dog or don't like you, betraying your trust. And I thought that was my Ace Boone Coon. We can't trust that individual. And now you ready to kill them, throw them to the dogs, when you should be on the cross yourself. Using that same example that Jesus showed you, Judas, he embraced. He knew he was betraying him to his destiny. Sometimes your enemy is there to put you on the cross and get you to your goal. Your goal is to have your soul saved. Sometimes we're so full of thinking about the blessing. Oh, God going to give me that brand new car, that brand new house. He's going to give me this and that and the other. He said, "I really want to do it for you." He said, "But if I give you that and you're acting like a fool now, what you going to do when I give it to you?" Preach the message once. Can you stand to be blessed? In other words, can you stay in God long enough? Can you walk in love long enough and take your affection off of the natural and put it on the spiritual things? Pursue the righteousness of God, and he's going to take care of the blessing. He's just waiting on you to stand still in the process long enough to allow him to kill your rotten flesh. This flesh will carry you to hell, me and anybody else, if I let it. But we don't have to do that. We can walk in the light because he is light. And then guess what? When we walk in the spirit, we have fellowship with him. We have fellowship with the Lord. The scripture says here, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now here's the confession again. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins," "If we say that we don't have anything," that's pride. "I ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm all right. God didn't deliver me. He didn't work with me." Honey, let me tell you something. You think that sheep gone out of you, God will prove to you that that devil's still laying dormant up in there. God has to deliver you through degrees. He has to deliver you by dimensions. Because if he kicked that devil out all at once, the scripture says it'll multiply and come back on you and overtake you, and that's just too much for you to be able to bear. So he gives you different levels of deliverance, but then you're going to have to learn how to keep it. We're going to be talking about that in the consecration. Right now we're just dealing with the confessions and getting before God. We need to get rid of some stuff. We need to empty out, go before God and start to confess the sin. I was saying earlier how you've got to get butt naked before God. You've got to get I don't mean in the natural. I'm talking about in the spirit. You've got to go before him and say, "Look, Lord, if you know something bothering you, look, God, I ain't talking about go to your sister. I'm not talking about go to your brother. You got to stop that, because what you're doing is finding somebody that can get in agreement with you and can't point you to God. They're going to get in agreement with you on the same matter, and both y'all locked up in hatred against somebody else or the situation that's familiar to you all. So you go before God, because he's your high priest, and say, "Look, God, this thing is getting on my nerves now. I'm tired of this situation. I need you to fix me so that I can better handle it and deal with it until you deliver me out of it." So you was hoping I said, "Get me out of this." No. Sometime God want to get that thing out of you before he deliver you out of it. Glory to God. He wants to get that thing up out of you first, using that particular atmosphere, that setting, to kill your flesh so that he can move you on to the next dimension and the blessing, because then you're able to handle it. God gives you a promise, says, "I'm going to do this for you, But he says, wait a minute, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you're going to be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That's Isaiah, the first chapter, between the 16th and the 20th verse. You can read that for yourself. In fact, you go up a little further, it says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as wool. Though they be, let me go there. I don't want to just misquote that. Isaiah, the first chapter. This is also still dealing with confession. We got to go before God and we got to empty out. I'm talking about confessing. You don't go to man. You have a high priest you can go to now. You can go to him and tell him about all those pains, and then that's how you enter into a place of covenant with God. I'm teaching you now how to get to God for yourself. Those of you that are on the line, I'm pretty sure that, we have a few babies that's on the line that's even a up under my ministry. Tanyada, I hope you're there. This is going to help you to reach God for yourself. Isaiah, the first chapter, says this in the 16th verse. Remember I talked about how God says you're going to have to learn how to wash your spiritual garments. There is a garment that you have on that's invisible to your naked eye, but Jesus can see it. That it's either dirty or filthy. I want you to read with me here, but then I want you to also write down the scripture of Zechariah, the third chapter. We're going to go there right after this. I'm giving you scriptures so that you can know the art of cleansing yourself. It says here, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil and learn to do well. But we're going to skip down to the 18th verse where it says, come now. In other words, we in the consecration, come before the Lord. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. What is he saying? Come before me. Wash yourself up. Naturally and spiritually, get out of that bed. Sometimes God is picking on some of you all to get up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and you think your eyes just popped open because you ain't sleepy no more. No, God didn't open your big old pretty eyes up and your big old rough looking eyes, man, so that you can get that sleep out. Go wash your face, comb your hair, brush your teeth, put on some clean garments in the natural. Every one of us that's under the sound of my voice, we should have some go-before-God garments on. If you don't have none, go buy you some. I'm very serious. And in these garments, you should have at least two sets. One set is for laying before him in sackcloth and ashes repentance mode. I'm getting this off me. I'm putting on a dark garment tonight, God. I'm getting this off of me. Then after I have cleaned myself up, I'm going to change my garment and I'm going to put on all white, whether it's a white T-shirt, white pants, white whatever the ladies wear, whatever you decide you want to put on, put it on white and comb your hair before you go before God. I know this sounds simple and basic to some of you, but you got to realize we're going before a king, and this is how we're to reverence him. This also, oh Jesus, this is also going to set the tone for some of you that even have husbands. You can't expect some things to take place if you're always looking nasty and raggedy, and you want him to really work things out, you know, for you, and you want him to say some good things to you. I know you like to be told things, but you're going to have to learn how to go before the Lord. Or go before the Lord in a clean way. And it's the same way with that husband, that mate husband. We want to make sure that's clear. Not just your boyfriend, not just your mate, but your husband. We want to go before him with the proper garments on as well. Empty out your heart in prayer before you get with your husband sometimes. Because sometimes you done had a bad day. You done had a rough time. And the kids done got on your nerves. You don't want to be bothered, but he ready to get busy. I'm talking home now. I told you I was coming down the middle with you today. You've got to go before him the same way. You got to treat him like a king, because he is the priest of the household, whether he's saved or not. You got to usher him into that position, woman of God. You got to know how to bring your husband subject to the Spirit of Christ by you behaving a specific way before him, treating him just like God would have you to treat him. If you can't love your husband, how in the world are you going to love God? I don't care if the man is raggedy, he an alcoholic, he a dope head, whatever it is. You can love him right out of that situation, because the Bible says that the unbelieving is sanctified by the believing wife or the husband, vice versa. You got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You can't have that nasty attitude. He ain't touching me tonight. You put on whole jean outfits and pajamas and cover the head up, and big old bro gang house shoes on, making sure he don't see nothing that's going to turn you on, because you don't want to be bothered with him. Well, he that winneth souls is wise. You should be able, as long as that man ain't sleeping with everybody out there, you got to learn how to romance him even in his unfinished or undone state. You want God to turn the world over for you, but we're going to have to learn how to love our own family members, our own mates at home first. We're going to have to learn how to love these wives the same way. We can't get before people and looking and smelling any kind of way and then expect them to come to a satisfaction point in the relationship. I don't want to get too graphic. And there's some hindrances in the way. You get together and all of a sudden you smell something. Well, what's that? That's all right. Let's wait till tomorrow. Let's wait. I won't be bothered. Just leave me alone. Well, do something about that. It's the same way spiritually. God has said, come before me. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Wash yourself up. Make yourself clean first in the natural. Now, let's go spiritual. That same scripture in the 16th verse says, wash you, Isaiah 16:1 and 16 says, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, saith the Lord. Wash yourself up. And you do that by going right over to, let's go to Romans. First you said we had the 1 John 1:5-10. You had confession there. Now let's go to Romans 10, and I believe it's 9. I'm giving scriptures so that you can know how to get in God's presence the right way. Some of us are not hearing from them because there's too much mess in the way. And listen, write this down. Study Isaiah, the first chapter, completely. You'll see in the verses up above that where he said, put away your Sabbaths, your moons, your solemn assemblies, and don't even come before me with waving of your hands because you stink before my presence, in other words. You'll see that in that first chapter of Isaiah where God told the people he didn't even want to hear that. Accept their sacrifices because their hands were dirty. They were unclean. They didn't reverence him as God. We try to go before God any kind of way, and it's just not right. Romans 10 and 9, I believe it says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, you would think that's a soul-winning scripture, and it is. But the law of confession works even for the matured saint down the road. You've got to have Jesus on your lips and confessing the things of God even against all odds when winds are contrary to what's going on. But now in this instance, we want to take it down just a little bit and say we're going to confess our sins before God. We're going to confess that thing before him. We're going to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to go before him, and we're going to believe that once we have confessed our sins, as 1 John told us in the first chapter, that he is faithful and just, the scripture said, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But in order for that to take place, you've got to go before him and empty out. God, I'm so tired of this situation on the job. This man is cussing me out. And let me tell you, Lord, this guy, he My Lord, my God, he's getting on my solemn, my nerves. This girl, this woman right here, Lord, they're getting on my nerves, my last nerve. God, I so want to slap them. You got to be honest before God and say, now, God, I know that's not you. I know that is not your nasty attitude. That's the carnal me. But I'm confessing it before you because you said if I confess that thing, you're faithful and just to forgive me of it and then cleanse me. There is a cleansing in your confession, people of God. You've got to learn how to confess and denounce. That cleans your spiritual garment up when you go before him. And we're going to go before him before we get off this phone. Before we get off this phone, when you go before him, you've got to learn how to confess that stuff to him. Tell him all about it. And when you do, you got to know he hears you because this is his principle. He doesn't want you to harbor that stuff in you and walk around not saying nothing to no. He doesn't want you to say it to anybody else, but don't say it. Harbor to yourself because eventually you become like a nuclear weapon. As soon as somebody hit that wrong button, you're going to launch all that stuff out your mouth and you're going to kill whoever it is with that old nasty tongue we got when we get angry. You so-and-so, so-and-so, you've been getting on my nerve ever since, and I'm so sick and tired of you. I've been asking God to either remove you or take you out of my life and blah, 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 and it's all going to spill out. So you don't want it to spill out at the wrong time because you hurt your brother and your sister with that nasty sword that can come out of your mouth with evil on it. The Bible says life and death is it's in the power of the tongue. It's in the power of the tongue. So when you confess it, understanding is this. Write it down. When you confess it out, you're emptying your heart before God and you're removing the artillery that Satan will use at a later date. You can become a weapon in the enemy's hand if you don't, on a regular basis, go before God and confess this stuff out. Every day you got to clean yourself out because it's some stuff you may have in passing by. Myself, personally, I don't do a lot of TV anymore. I just started backing up off of Facebook here recently because God told me it's too much that ain't him on there, and I don't want to be reading all of these posts and contaminating my spirit. I want to get to a place to where I'm walking in the garden completely with God, and that's where I dwell, in the garden, not in my carnal. I'm dwelling in the garden where I can hear God clearly. I want to be able to feel his presence, and I want him to be able to talk to me and me talk to him. And one day, maybe he may translate me like he did Enoch. But the point I'm making is, you've got to know that the enemy will load your mind up with a bunch of weapons. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the way you get rid of his weapons, you disarm himself within you by going before God. Lord, this thing got on my nerves today. I said some stuff. I wanted to say some stuff that I shouldn't have. That thought that cussing him out came to my mind. But God, your word said that there should not be no vile thing or anything that is unrighteous proceed out of my lips. God, you told me that my conversation should be holy, but I wanted to say something nasty. And you know what I thought, God. That thought the enemy sowed into my mind, I had a bad word there. And you heard it. It was that word, yeah, right there. And I wanted to say it, but I held my peace. I wanted to give them a piece of my mind. God, I renounce it. I confess it before you because your word says to hold my peace and let the Lord. You've got to know how to talk that thing out with God and believe he right there with you saying, yes, daughter. Yes, son. I hear you. And when you do that, did you not know that you are actually putting yourself on the physician's table, I'd like to call it. In other words, Jesus is the master doctor. He is the physician. Everything that ails you, he knows already, but he wants you to give him permission to deal with it. He said, if you confess your sin or that thing to me, I'm faithful to cleanse you of it. I'm going to heal you of it. But if you never come before me and tell me what the problem is and stay consistent with that thing and wait on me to minister to your need in that area, to prescribe the medication, the spiritual antidote to that thing, then you're going to continue to walk around with that deep hurt, that rejection in you, that unforgiving spirit, that lying tongue, that malice you had from years ago, from when your husband or your boyfriend, your baby's mama and your baby's daddy mistreated you. You're going to have to confess all of that. I never forget when God gave me this particular principle. And I was laying in my bedroom by myself, and I had been in a consecrated state as a baby in Christ, praying hard, real hard. I mean, I had learned how to pray being around praying Christians. I sat in the room with them, so I learned how to pray by just being around praying people. And I'm sitting there, and I had just come out of prayer, and I seen this bright, fiery red glow over the door to my closet. I said, oh, God, and there was a beautiful peace that stepped in the room, and he began to speak to me. And he said, now what I want you to do, son, I want you to tell me about everything that you've ever gone through that hurt you and wounded you, because I desire to heal you. See, sometimes what we'll do is we'll get past stuff because we learn how to just cope with it. We know how to deal with it. But I'm here to tell you, people of God, when you cover up that transgression, you cover up that iniquity in your heart and gone down the road and you think it's gone, I promise you that demon or that chief or that wound, that cut, that scar in you will come to life. And you say, where did that come from? I didn't know that was there. Well, it's because you never took it and put it in the hands of the master physician, to be healed from it. Well, he told me to go back. I went way back when I was a child, when things happened to me. And I said, God, yeah, and so-and-so, so-and-so. And they did that. I couldn't stand the way I was treated by this person and that. But God, you said, and blah, blah, blah. And I just cried out to him. Man, the presence of God came in there, and he just started working on me. And from that point on, God started dealing with me after the inner man. In other words, he started giving me principles, healing me with revelation knowledge, showing me how to walk in the wisdom of God, giving me wisdom to deal with rejection. Because I suffered that rejection, and everyone that's on the line now, you have suffered from rejection. You come out of some of you come from suffering rejection from the mother's womb. In your womb, she was saying, Lord, I don't even know why I want this baby. God, that nigga ain't going to do nothing for me. He ain't going to do such and such. And some of you said that even with the pregnancies that you've had. So you now know that you got to deal with that child that you said those things to or about while he was in the room. It wasn't that you had something against the child or the baby, but it was because of what you were faced with. You were faced with the fact that you had to deal with that thing by yourself. Daddy wasn't there, or you were having problems with the dad, baby's daddy, and vice versa. Some of you that may be on the line that had parental rights to your kids, man of God, you had to deal with those things. You were, now, you wasn't pregnant, but that child that was in the womb, that child that was in the womb and the mother, I don't know why I had this be right there as rejection. I should have, you contemplated aborting it. Well, that was rejection. If you have some more children, after the night, you're going to know what not to say, what not to do. You're going to keep your confession as this is God's blessing, I love him, and you're going to speak life to that thing in your womb. Well, that's the natural perspective. You suffered rejection from the mother's womb because of those things. You got to go before God and get that stuff out. Tell him about it. Lord, I don't believe that my mother and daddy probably even wanted me, but there was some rejection there. Lord, I'm confessing all of that. I'll get to the root cause of the problems. Tell him about everything, okay? And then when you get down the road of peace, your children, you got to teach them the same principle, people of God. You got to order your household after the kingdom principles that God lay off inside of you and that have shown you. But if you never get past the hurt, the wounds, the rejection, the unforgiveness, I promise you, that thing will filter over into your business relationships. It'll filter over into your marriage. And it will be the very cause that separations and divorces come forth, because we don't know how to communicate with people. I was telling the people the other night, most relationships are built on fake or false foundations, because it started out, well, I went through this with my previous boyfriend, and he went through that with his previous girlfriend, so now you all got something in common, and the reason why you're telling him that you went through that is because you want him to treat you different from the way you were going through in your past relationships. So you're telling him all of what you went through. That's spilling out your hurt to the wrong situation. And now he hears it and says, well, I know what to tell you now so that I can get with you. So I'm going to make you some false promises, and I'm going to tell you I'm all right there, baby. I went through that, too. I understand your pain. And look, let me tell you something. Some of this is happening in them lesbian and homosexual relationships. What you think because the man don't understand you, here come that same lying fake spirit through a lesbian or a homosexuality spirit. It's telling you exactly what you want to hear, and now you feel like they understand me. They know me because they went through the same thing, and now you yoke up out of a false compassion, a false relationship that lies. But let me tell you something, that same thing that you are going through that you never got delivered from is going to come up in that relationship and it's going to bite you. So get rid of the old wounds. Go before God and talk to him. Confess that stuff out. You think you've gotten over it because you're doing well, someone you're doing well and you're faring pretty good and you got a job. But let me tell you, that wound is there. It's just hidden. Told the people the other night, the Holy Ghost gave me to tell him, if you don't think it's there, he's about to prove to you that thing's still there. And one of the ways you can tell something is still there festering, the unforgiving spirit, is because when you hear about that person, I don't want to have nothing to say about them. Don't bring them up. That's my path. Don't even talk about them, honey, please. No, you should be able to have a conversation now where that thing ain't bothering you no more. In fact, you should be able to face your enemy or that thing that was you, your inner me, the inner you, the I-N-N-E-R, your inner me. You should be able to face it now, but you can't because you don't want to confront the issue of your past. But yet you form a relationship out of that falsehood, and you never really understand what real love is because now you developed a slithery tongue to tell people what you're going through because you're hoping that they can satisfy your needing to be loved. Well, to me and to everybody that's under the sound of my voice, I can tell you now, that's called looking for love in all the wrong places. You'll never find love like Jesus. You'll never find another love like the love of Christ. Once he heals you from that, then God can bring you into a greater relationship if you're already married with your husband, with your wife. And if you don't have a mate, he can give you one that will love you for you. And he don't even have to know nothing about your past. You may open up your mouth and say, you know what, I'm so glad I met you because I went. He said, I don't even want to hear it, baby. I know all you've been through. Don't matter to me none. I see what I like. God done already dealt with me, and let's go on from here. Let's go on from here. Don't even mention the past no more. Same way with the woman. You should be so to the point now where you don't even want to go about your past. Deal with it this way, where you can hear it and it don't even bother you. But let's move on, because I've learned to forgive that person. If I see them today, I'd love on them, embrace them, hug them, and sit down and talk about the future and how we gonna build a friendship not based on my hurts, not holding no grudges or iniquity. Because most time when you know you ain't over something, you keep bringing it up. Or, girl, let me tell you, I've been through that and such and such, such and such, and I ain't gonna ever go through that again. You still hurt. You still hurt. But when you can say, God gave me the victory, and I don't mean just say it, you got to let God do that. He will minister wisdom to you in that area, but he will give you to understand how it happened first. Amen. That's confession. You can't get to the petition prayer and really get some stuff done for God. God wants us to empty out in this season, clean your spiritual house out, so that you can feel the presence of God like you used to or like you desire, so that you can be engulfed with and in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and he with you. He says there's something that's standing between me and you, and I got something against you. You left your first love. Come on back here. Let's talk about it. Let's reason about this thing. Let's start a new relationship. Let's get rid of the little small foxes that spoil in the vine. Those things that keep tripping you up, causing you to cuss and fuss and kick and scratch and bite and all of that other stuff. God stands ready, people of God, to do this. Now, that is where we're going in that first phase, the cleansing. And we're going to be praying, and we're going to show you how to get before God. And I'm going to be praying with you on this line concerning that prayer of confession. Go ahead and open the lines up, and I want everybody to remove all of the distractions out of your presence. Get the noise, the TV off, the radio off, and sit the kids down, whatever. But open the lines up now, if you will, please. And we're going to go a little further now. I gave you some scriptures on confession. You know how now to get the nastiness out of your garment. That's washing your garment when you confess it before the Lord and you renounce that stuff, and then you put yourself in remembrance of what the Word says, and then you get in the Word. Because the Bible says, "For we are sanctified by thy truth, for thy word is truth." We are washed, in other words, by this Word. Get in that Bible and start getting in the New Testament. Read Romans, read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Get in those books and see the DNA and the nature of Christ. Watch how he behaved himself. Clean that spirit up. And then when you get up, you're going to feel renewed. And then you'll have a new mindset to move on with God and walk in the spirit. This you have to do daily, people of God. Amen. Are the lines open yet? Hello? Can anybody hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Who am I speaking with?
Rwanda.
Okay, good, good. That's just one person that's come out of the closet. Is there anybody else there?
I can hear you, Apostle. This is Yvonne.
Okay. Anybody else on the line?
I'm here, Apostle.
Okay.
I'm here, Apostle.
All right. I want to hear some new voices out there. I'm pretty sure we have some other voices out there as well.
I'm listening on the line, Apostle.
Amen. 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 Okay. Now, I did hear a television of some sort. Can we kind of like lower that, because we're getting ready to pray? We're getting ready to pray. God gave me some instructions about this consecration, and he gave me his word. That there's going to be a change, there's going to be a difference. And let me say this. We are sending out text messages. This is the first time that I've ever done it this way, where we are doing what you call a conference call shut-in. A conference call shut-in. Somebody asked me, well, how are we going to do that, Pastor? Well, one way is that we're going to be sending out text messages to alert you when to get back on the line. To get back on the line, because this is going to be going on for the next 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Tuesday, until we are finished. But do not expect the same message, because God's going to shift us from the cleansing, the repentance, into petition prayer, where we're going to lay out our petition before God. And we're going to show you how to leave it there and how not to take it off the altar. And then God's going to start showing us strategies on how to take our children, take our blessings. He's going to give us wisdom and strategies on how to warfare. We're going from repentance to warfare. From repentance, petition, intercessory, and warfare. And victory. And we're going to show you how to seal your prayers up to where they will become heard and performed, because God wants to answer your petition. He wants to answer it. He wants to say your petition is granted. We want to show you all of that, and also we're going to show you how to keep your new heart, how to maintain the principles and suit you up in the armor of God, how to maintain the kingdom principles, amen, over the next 3 days. So we're sending out text messages that will invite you online. Now, some of which, now I got to let you know, a shut-in, a real shut-in inside of the church building goes for three, sometimes however long God wants it to be, but I've had shut-ins for 3 days where we hardly ever really sleep. We up 2:00 in the morning praying, getting instructions from God, and God is showing us. I promise you, it's something phenomenal, and you get answers. You get instruction. God deals with us by revelation knowledge, and you start to hear what you've been waiting for, and then you know how to go in and talk to God. Yokes are broken. your whole atmosphere has changed. Your continence is going to change. All of this. But because of people that do have to work and people that have certain things to do, you'll be able to take your cell phone and pull over or on your break maybe and tap in during that time as well. And we're going to send out, I would like to say robo messages, but they're not. They're just simple text messages saying we're going to be back on the air. Say, for instance, when we go off tonight, I plan for us to get back on somewhere around 11 or 12 o'clock to get in prayer. We're going into the third watch prayer to get before God and pray. We're going to go to that next phase where we're going to empty out, and I'm going to be praying with you. Some of you, I'm going to be praying the sentiments of your heart because God's going to give it to me. And all you're going to need to do is just say, yes, Lord, and be in agreement with me. And that's going to start breaking yokes off. I promise you God's going to move in a miraculous way, and you're going to be different from this for the next 3 days.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we want to make sure you understand. Text messages are going to come. Don't just throw them, I ain't getting up right now. This is a consecration. This is a seek because God wants to bless you and he wants your spirit to be taken to another level. Some of you are looking for God to shoot you to a place where you're supposed to be in the spirit anyway. Some of you, your clock is running late. Your train is running late. God wants to take you from where you are and give you what you call it an Azotus experience, where he launches you from one place in the spirit into the next place, look like a translation takes place, where you're there overnight. It's called a quick shot, a speed shot in the spirit. And trust me, he has equipped this ministry to do just that, to get you from one place to the next. And before you know it, you're thinking a different way. But we want to put in you first the foundation on how to hold that new heart, that new level he's going to usher you into within the next 3 days. You're going to have to know how to hold it, because if you don't hold it, you're going to slip right back into the same old thing. And that's not what he wants. He's tired of his people having to be restored over and over and over. So he wants to give you the principles on how this is done, and you're going to get good understanding of how it's done. So I encourage you to bring your notes to these conference calls. It's a sacrifice, people. You are going before God to sacrifice something for him, to him, so he can say, your sacrifice has been accepted, and I'm going to answer your petition. This is what he did for Queen Esther. She sacrificed. She even put her life on the line because she went before the king and could have had her head cut off because she hadn't had permission to do it. But we're going. We're going before King because we got permission tonight. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
We're Amen. Going. We're going. So don't think this is the norm of a conference call. This is us sacrificing to get some answers from God and to get destiny brought into existence in an expedient way. We are on the verge of a breakthrough. And let me say this as well. The church... Our church, my church where I pastor, we had a service 2 weeks ago where God laid something in our heart. At the end of the service, he started doing something unusual. And he spoke to me and told me to tell the people within 19 days there was going to be an exodus to take place, meaning that he was going to start bringing us out of some situations and turning some circumstances around, and some of us were going to be relocated in spirit as well as in natural, and he's going to bring us out. Well,
yes,
I didn't realize that on that day that the 19th fell on the 19th, the end of that 19th day fell on the 4th of July. So the 4th of July will be the 19th day, which the 4th of July also represents Independence Day, meaning liberation is going to take place. Freedom is coming. Independence is coming. Did you hear that?
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Independence is coming.
Thank you,
and
Jesus.
That's going to be a setting free. That's going to take place. And then he said, and watch this. We had two people in there that have, one's got a birthday God told us that by September the 19th of, wait, was it September the 19th, you all, or was it October the 19th?
September.
It was September. God told us by September the 19th that there was something that was going to be catastrophic, or between now and the September 19th, there was going to be some devastations to occur in the government and the United States of America, and that he wanted us to be ready for it. Well, there was two people sitting in the audience where one person's birthday is 9-1, which adds up to the number 1 and 9 was in place for the 19th. And then there was another one there whose birthday is 9-1-1, which said that, okay, there's that devastation or that remembrance of what took place during 9-1-1. And then God spoke and said, now those numbers, the birthday of the person that had 9-1, 9 plus 1 equaled 10. Now watch this. This is the exact 10th year, the exact 10th year that God, that 9-1-1 took place. And God said this was also the year of final judgment, which means that it took exactly 10 plagues for Pharaoh to let God's people go. This is the 10th year, and God says, I'm releasing a plague on the enemy's camp, a judgment on the pharaohs in your life that's going to release you from some things you've been in bondage to as people of God. Somebody put me on speaker. I need you to take me off speaker, because it's an echo. But he said that there will be this, because this is the 10th year, and it took exactly 10 plagues to make Pharaoh let the people of God go. He said that this would mark the end of this thing that's been had you bound for a long time. This is the year God is bringing his people out of a lot of things, and it's time for us to be blessed. Look, and this is the final chance we're going to get to come out and start operating in some of these gifts and some of these visions that God has given to you. He wants you to operate this thing, because that's where your finances are. Your finances are locked up in your vision and in your gift. Your vision is the provision. It is the means to your ends. And many of you are entrepreneurs, and God is saying, you need to come out now, because this is it. This is it. He has stood in the way a long time to keep Pharaoh from further oppressing you and bringing you to further enslavement, impoverished states of mind, by taking away from you the Social Security, your public aid, all of those crutches that you were used to. He says, I've stood in the way long enough. He says, now it's come down to the wire where you're going to have to put your hand to the plow. You're going to have to use what I have given to you to produce so that you can eat in the land. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. With that said, what I'm going to do is just pray a prayer now, but we're going to come back on the line at 11 o'clock tonight. At 11 o'clock. I told you this is a conference call shut-in. So it would be the same thing at church. We take a break, lay down, or do whatever for 2 hours and come right on back. Well, we shut in over the conference call. At 11 o'clock, know that you got to get yourself in your sackcloth and ashes. In other words, put on your go-before-God garments. I've given you your instructions. I will have on mine. And my mindset is already prepared to go before the king. So be prepared to go with me for the king. Now, this is going to weed out the girls from the women and the men from the boys. See, most people don't like shut-ins. Most people don't like fasting and praying. We talk about prayer, folks start running. I'm be sleep that time of night. I ain't finna do that. I'm gonna be asleep. I ain't got something to do in the morning. That's why you can't get to that next level, because God said you're not presenting your body a living sacrifice to me yet. I want something that's well pleasing so I can start moving in your behalf. Amen. So let's put this flesh on the cross. Let's nail it. Let's nail it down, and let's go before God and let him. Last time we did this, God spoke to me and said, your sacrifice was accepted. And I've since watched my children start taking on a different demeanor, meaning that the things that I've asked him for, he's starting to do them. It works, people of God. It works. So So if you want to see a change, come lay a sacrifice before God that's well-pleasing before his presence so that he can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Your sacrifice has been accepted, and I shall perform the thing out of your mouth. Esther got the king to say, what is thy petition? And then he turned around and granted it for her. And Haman ended up hung. God wants to hang your devils, your enemies that's been fighting you, and put them demons on the gallows. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you tonight as empty pitchers before a well-filled fountain. God, in the name of Jesus, we renounce every hidden agenda, every purpose of the enemy tonight. And Lord, we have heard your cry. We have heard your clarion call, the sound of the trumpet that says, come now. Lord, we come. I come to put my body on the altar for you, Lord, so that your people, whoever you will give us to petition you for outside of ourselves, we already know you've met our needs. But Lord, whoever we come before you with, God, we come and ask you to anoint us to go through this consecration. Put it in us, God. Don't let us get no sleep until we finish the course so that you can fulfill what you desire to give to us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, bind up those things that have already been touched on, the enemies that have already been uprooted in the hearts of the people. Bind up that spirit of oppression. Break the yoke even now. Bind the spirit of sleep and slumber. Bind the devil of Leviathan and the python spirits, God, in the name of Jesus, that will cause your people to go into a stupor where they won't want to sleep. Bind up those lazy spirits, slothful spirits, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. And God, bring us through this place with victory. We trust you, God. We trust your calling in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, if there's anybody that want to share or say something right now or have any questions, come forth right now. I'm pretty sure that I know Yvonne's got something. she always do. And Sister Brenda, you may have, or anybody else that's on this call, anybody, open up and just now begin to share with us what you want to say.
Praise the Lord, Apostle. This is Evangelist Hannah. Before the broadcast is over, can you please give out the conference number and the code?
Yes. Thank you so much for reminding me for that. Sister Yvonne, you have that information, right?
Yes, I do, Pastor.
Okay. Right now, go ahead and take the time and give out that number to the people and the code. I did send you the code, too, the new number and the new code, too, right?
Yes, I do have it, Pastor.
Okay, go right ahead and give that to them now, and then I'll come back in and we'll go further.
Well, praise the Lord, saints. The new number for the conference call line is 559-726-1200. Once again, that number is 559-726-1200. And the access code is 963-695. Once again, that access code is 963-695. Reminder text will go out after the broadcast. If there's anybody that hasn't been receiving text messages for the conference call shut-in and that would like to receive text messages, you can send a text message to 312-656-0593 and just simply state, please add me to the conference call list and you will receive messages.
Say that again because there was some disturbance in the background. Say that again twice for me.
If there's any of you that would like to receive text messages about the conference call shut-in that are not already receiving text messages, you can send a text message to 312-656-0593 and just simply say, please add me to the list to receive messaging, and it will be done so. Once again, 312-656-0593.
Amen. Amen. That was good. I appreciate that. Now, if anybody has anything else to ask or say right now, come forth right now.
Is that 11 o'clock Eastern Standard or Central?
I believe that we're on Central Time here. We're in Chicago. Okay.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Any more questions? I'm sure we're going to have a lot of them later on, though. I promise you that. Oh, it's going to open up. It's going to definitely open up. Is there anyone desirous of prayer right now that's on the line?
I would like prayer.
Okay. Is there anything in particular?
Well, the last 2 weeks, I have been having some really bad allergic reactions to something. And I've just been swelling, and I don't know why.
Wow. Okay, let's do this then. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, you told me in your word that I can ask anything in your name, and it would be done. And because I know you hear me, Father, I'm asking you to heal her body now in the name of Jesus. I curse the cause of it.
Yes.
Every spirit of infirmity,
yes,
of the flesh and the inner man, I curse the cause of it, and I command it to dry up now and leave her body in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you said in your word, you were wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes ye were healed. I declare her healing now in the name of Jesus. And Satan, come hitherto no further from this day forevermore in Jesus' name. Your assignment, your expiration date in her body is over now. Be gone in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And woman of God, I want you to just lift your hands right now and just begin to praise God. Begin to just thank him for it now. Are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead and begin to just lift your hands right now and just thank him from your mouth.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
you're healing.
Thank you, Father. And then, Father, I come against the spirit of discouragement. In the name of Jesus, I bind that demonic force. And I bind the spirit of harassment in the name of Jesus. And, Lord God, we thank you. Lift her to where she needs to be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you for it. If you can, one of God, please join us on these calls because there are some answers that God's going to bring. I give you my word. He wouldn't have called it if he wasn't going to do so. Amen?
Amen. Thank
All
you.
All right. You're so welcome. Is there anyone else? Don't be shy. It's okay. They just hear your voice. They don't know who you are. Come on forward now. If you have anything you want to say or ask questions about, come now.
Hello.
Amen. Yes.
Doris.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Doris Kaya from
California.
And that was my daughter just... I'd like you to pray for her.
Okay.
And, I'd like you to pray for me. I've been having pains in my stomach. Different other problems. And we've been having a hard time trying to raise the children, and we are not feeling our best.
Yes, God. Yes, God. You know what I'm going to ask God for, too? I'm going to ask God to break the yoke of oppression. And then, woman of God, there's some things that God says. He says, I want you to begin to get in a hurry as far as move in some of the things that you already know to do, that you already have an unction to do. And, yes, I understand the spirit of infirmity, but sometimes your healing is in your go. In other words, it's in your getting up and moving in some of the things that God has already released to you. And there is also a restoration for strength and health in your just, my God, I hear you, in your renouncing any doubts, fears, and the language of this spirit that's attacking your body. I want you to repeat after me, if you will. Say, Lord.
Lord.
I renounce.
I renounce.
The spirit of infirmity.
Spirit of infirmity.
That has attached itself to my body.
Attached itself to my body.
That is the root cause of this pain.
Root cause of this pain.
And Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I'm asking you to forgive me.
Forgive me.
For every sin.
Every sin.
Of neglect.
Neglect.
And sins of omission.
Omission.
Everything that I've neglected to do, Lord.
Everything that I've neglected to do, Lord.
I repent of it now.
Repent of it now.
And I acknowledge it as sin.
Acknowledge it as sin.
And, Lord, I thank you.
Lord, I thank you.
For quickening my body now.
Quickening my body now.
In the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
Now, let me quote this scripture to you. The Bible says that if that spirit, that same spirit dwell in you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that same spirit will also quicken your mortal body. Now, woman of God, I release the anointing of Elijah and the wisdom of Elijah to where if you will just begin to get up and start moving in some of the things that you think you can't do anymore and some of the ideas that you've had, God says, I'm going to begin to release healing into your body and you're going to take on strength as you go. As you go. And I keep hearing this. I want you to go, and I know this sounds very simple or something that is gimmicky, but I don't operate in a gimmick. I don't play with God. I love him. But I want you to go and drink a glass of water, even now. Just do it and come back to the line. Can you do that for me?
Yes.
Go do that right now and just drink a cold glass of water. And then praise God. Even when we get off this phone, I want you to praise God and give him a crazy praise and then just start moving in some things that he has already showed you that you should do and some things that you don't think you can do anymore. And only you know what they are, right?
Amen.
Amen. Do it. And as you go, your strength is going to come. Your strength will come as you go. Your strength is going to return, and you're going to begin to feel much better as you go. In Jesus' name.
Okay.
Let me give you some more. I feel I need to put some more foundation and faith there because I hear some people's spirit online. Elijah told the man of God that was stricken with leprosy. He told him, first he got a message from someone that there was a man named Naaman looking for him. And Naaman went to the man of God. But Elijah stayed inside of the house. And Elijah sent a word out of the door, out of the house to Naaman, who had an infirmity or was stricken with leprosy, and told him, gave him some simple instructions, go wash in the pool or go dip 7 times in the Jordan. And he said, thy flesh shall come again at my word. the man of God got angry with Elijah and walked off, stormed out, because the scripture says, I thought at least he would pray for me and lay his hands on me or something. Because, see, we get stuck in traditional way of doing, or we want God to move the way we want him to do. Sometimes we want God to just have somebody lay hands on us and cast something off or pray. But sometimes God want to perform a miracle through a sign and a wonder, because some people just need to believe that the living word or the spoken word still exists.
Amen.
That it still exists. And all he's saying is that if you would take the instructions that I've given to you and believe, trust the word of God, you're going to be miraculously healed. The
Amen.
Faith miracles is on, the anointing is in the midst right now. And I promise you, I ain't playing with God. I got to meet you. I got to probably potentially see you or hear from you again within the next 3 days. I ain't got nowhere to hide.
Hello.
So just follow the instructions and become obedient and stay faithful with what he shows you to do. Do it. Jesus said these words. I mean, Mary said these words concerning Jesus. She told the people of God at the feast. He said, whatsoever Jesus tells you to do, just do it.
Yeah.
Well, And that's all I'm saying. Step out on this word and do it. Go get that water, drink it now, and we're going to proceed further. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If there's anyone else on the line that wants to ask a question or say anything while we're here, come now, because we're going to shift gears in a minute. Unmute your phones and come forward now. It's a blessing. Go ahead. It's a blessing to hear from people that's in California and other states online tonight. It truly is. It really is. And we look forward to each and every one of you that have even received prayer and a word right now. Try and be at every one of these conference calls that we're going to be having, because God is going to be doing something. We're going to be praying tonight at 11 o'clock. And then we're going to go further as God has already instructed me. This thing came suddenly, but he began to give me instructions and tell me exactly what he wants to do and to carry out. And I want to do it based on what he says, because it's not my work that gets it done. The Bible says it's not by my might, not by my power, but it is done by his spirit. So if he tells me to do it a certain way, then there will be results. They will be results. But if I try to do it because I've seen somebody else do it, and I ain't nothing but a one-day gimmick wonder, that's all I am. Mm-hmm. But he said to do it, and I believe God. Is there anybody else that have anything else to say or ask before we shift?
And then a word just came into my spirit, a divine call to repentance of a righteous life. It came through, Lord dropped in my spirit, Jeremiah 35:15. Where it says, I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now, every man, from his evil way and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me, said the Lord. That's from Jeremiah 35:15.
Amen. That's wonderful. We thank you for that word. And that I promise you, people of God, we're going to, before this is all over, we're going to have liberation, and we're going to feel free to share like that. And then there's going to be some open confessions over these lines, I believe, because confession sometimes is your healing point as well. So don't be afraid to share. I'm here as a pastor as well, that if anything is deposited the wrong way, those that sit under the ministry know I'll come back and I will help to bring a full understanding based on what God has given to me. So you don't have to fear to open up and to share. This is a time of sharing and a time of repentance. This is the first phase of this move, repentance. Then praise, then petition, then warfare and the intercessory, the strategies of the Lord. He's going to take us over into Canaan with this move here. We're going to start possessing some stuff. this message is definitely going to change, and it's going to become more geared toward possessing some things and how to take the devil out. But we're going through prayer and fasting with this. Amen. Anybody else?
I would just like to say, Apostle, that I thank God that Prophetess Teresa texted me concerning your teachings on tonight, because it has been a blessed and encouraging word for me. And I thank God for the word that's in your belly.
Amen. Amen, woman of God. I'm glad that God was able to minister something to your needs. Can you be with us even at 11 o'clock, woman of God?
Yes.
Amen. And anybody else that's on the line, there's going to be text messages that's going to go out. Now, we won't be on this particular, we won't be on Blog Talk Radio, the address that we're on now. There is a conference number that's already been given out, and if you all want to meet us there, you got to write it down. We're going to have her to give it one more time before we leave the air. And if there's someone that desires to be saved while we're on, Robo Hushkada, my Riomo Jose, Gandoria Mahanye Koryashka, Lord God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Woman of God that just spoke, if you just stay with us for a while, there's going to be something that God's going to break and that's going to manifest for you. And I feel a word in my spirit for you soon. Just stay on the line. Can I have your name, please?
Yes, Apostle Delaney.
Okay, just stay with us. Okay, we need you to stay with us, because God is really going to begin to say some things, I believe, further down the road. We have not even tapped into the meat of things yet. We have not even tapped into everybody. We have not invite other people on, because somebody needs deliverance. We won't be able to go back over the first phase of this, but maybe they can come on and catch on. And maybe some fire can become ignited in them, or their hope can be caused to stir again. Something can happen. Invite people on, especially for the next call, because we're going in prayer. And I believe God is going to give me to pray some of your hearts, desires, or the sentiments of your heart in that prayer. So anyone else? How many more? We should be ready to get out for here in a second. How many more minutes do we have? Okay.
Praise God, Apostle. Actually, you went over, but continue to let the Holy Spirit use you. You have about 10 more minutes.
Okay, then. Well, we'll just take one more person. If you want to say something, come on now, because we've already been told we've gone over for this time. But now we will be unlimited on the future conference calls. There will be unlimited time. We will be able to just let God have his way then, but we want to respect and honor the time limit here. We want to stay in order, because God is a God of order. So, in fact, we want to stop it right here. We want to stop it right here. And then I want to say, is there anybody out there that wants to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and you have not, or you want to be reclaimed to the Lord, you've backslidden and you want to come back to God, then come forward right now. We want to pray for you. We definitely want to intercede in your behalf. Amen. That's a good thing if nobody is coming forward. Well, woman of God, Sister Hannah, there is Better yet, Sister Yvonne, can you go ahead and give out that number, those numbers, one more time, your number and the conference line number, so that we will. And then I want you all to remember as well that we do have service radio broadcast on tomorrow night at 12 midnight. All of this is going to, we're going to tie everything into the move of God. I'm going to try not to deviate from what God has given to me for this 3 days. Even on with the radio broadcast that I have on 1570 AM Chicago, the radio broadcast address for the internet users would be www, and it's simple, gospel1570.com. 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 That's tomorrow night at 12 midnight Central Standard Time. Central Time. Amen. And Double Impact Ministries will be on the air at that time. We'll be on for a full hour. But we will be all day. We're going to be in this thing, in and out. So for those who need the conference call numbers and the phone number to text that message to, go ahead, Sister Yvonne, and just give that information out so that we can move forward. Get out of here.
If you all would like to receive text messages for the conference call shut-in, you can send a text requesting it to 312-656-0593. Once again, that number, 312-656-0593. The number to the conference call, as he had spoke earlier about, it has been changed. So if you saved in the number that we used this morning, it's no longer any good or of any use. The new number is 559-726-1200. Once again, that number is 559-726-1200. You're going to use access code 963.
You went out, Sister Yvonne. We couldn't hear the access code.
You're going to use access code. Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
You're going to use access code 963-695. Once again, that access code is 963-695.
Amen. Well, I got a question. Is there Tracy Daniels, are you on the line? I'm calling you out. If you're on the line, come forward. Okay, maybe not. All righty. Well, we're going to wrap it up with that, and we want to meet each other back on that conference call at 11 o'clock. Now, if you should receive a message with a different time on it, that will be because things shifted or God gave me to do so, or he's dealing with me and giving me instructions, because he does this in a shut-in like this. He gives me instructions in what to say or how to go in prayer for the people. So if there's any changes, you will see it within the text message. So you're going to need that text message sent to your phone so that you can keep track of the time. So again, I will stress, get that number, send your text, your phone number to that number she gave out so that you can receive these text messages to let you know what time we're going to be on the air, so you won't miss none of this. Every portion of this is good. And those of you that have to go to work, state that when you come online so that I'll know where you are in the spirit, and we understand that you do need to get that rest at time, but I want you to press in as much as you can, but I want you to state it when you come online that you are up beyond your time and that you have to work in the morning, but we'll be mindful of that. Amen? Amen. So with that being said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that every word that had proceeded forth in this broadcast would be sealed shut. I loose the anointing of peace upon your people now. And God, in Jesus' name, bind the hand of the devourer that's been in operation, bind retaliation and backlash in the name of Jesus Christ. And then, God, I pray for a supernatural move to manifest itself like never before in this shut-in. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you for it. Well, see you later, good people. God bless. Love you.
God bless.
Amen.